Blessings on you all. I'm glad to be back this morning as I participate in Pastor Jack's great series from the letter of James, Straight from the Shoulder. I think we have all heard the phrase, out of the mouth of babes. We hear it when something a child says surprises us because it seems very wise. Here are some examples off the internet. Patrick, age 10, says, never trust a dog to watch your food. Michael, 14, says, never tell your mom that her diet is not working. Randy, 9 years of age, says, stay away from prunes. I wonder how he learned that bit of wisdom. I bet he will have a different perspective when he gets to be older. Naomi, 15, says, if you want a kitten, start by asking out for a horse. And my favorite, Joel, 10 years old, said, never try to baptize a cat. I would say these kids are all very wise for their age, but this type of wisdom falls in the category of worldly wisdom, like look both ways before you cross the street. This type of wisdom may help you navigate the daily trials and travails of life. And sure enough, we encounter people that seem to be quite wise in the ways of the world. Some are very intelligent. Some know how to wield power and influence. And some are quick-witted, or all of the above. This is a wisdom from below, an earthly wisdom. However, this is not the type of wisdom that James is suggesting that we seek. James is encouraging us to seek a totally different kind of wisdom, a wisdom from above, a godly wisdom. Let's look at our text for today. Hear the word of God from the letter of James, chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Here ends our reading. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let's look at these two types of wisdom that James is telling us about, wisdom from above and worldly wisdom. James introduces this passage with a concise definition of those who possess wisdom from above, a godly wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good deeds in life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Then James switches to tell us about false wisdom. In verse 14, he uses the phrase, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts. These are the characteristics of false, worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom is always criticizing. It is exhibited when someone cannot let a good word go or a good deed be done without making some kind of quip that tears it down. I think we all know people like this. On the surface, that they can seem quite clever and often amusing. However, it is often a mask for jealousy, even false ambition. But when someone claims to be a Christ follower, yet exhibits these characteristics, James has a very sharp response. Such a person, he says, at the end of verse 14, is boasting. James says, if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, do not cover up the truth with boasting and lying. Being bitterly jealous is a misguided zeal that can result in real damage. It is anger at the accomplishments of others. Whenever we find fault with someone, especially a church leader, we must ask ourselves, what is motivating us to feel strongly about that person's failure? Do we actually share the same weakness? Do we imagine ourselves doing better in that role? Or are we, in fact, envious of the ability or success that God has allowed him or her to have? If we can answer yes to any of these questions, it should make us very careful on how we express our criticisms. This type of behavior can even result in factions inside the church who are for or against the pastor, leaders, or certain programs. Often it can result in causing people to take sides on issues that are not necessarily central to the Christian faith. Paul expresses this same idea in his letter to the Philippians. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Selfish ambition is the desire to live for oneself and nothing else, only for what a person can get out of it. Having confidence in only his or only her own opinion, he or she arrogantly lords it over others. James tells us that such a person should not brag about being wise, for that is the worst kind of lie. In an earlier passage, James has already said that the tongue is like a fire set aflame by hell. Now in verse 15, he tells us that jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. On the surface, it may give the appearance of being wisdom. After all, does not the devil tempt us with things that appear to be good and true, but are in reality lies disguised as partial truth? The source of this kind of wisdom is from worldly thinking tainted by forces of evil and not from God. Its teachers are self-centered and shallow. This wisdom does not come from faith. It is not of God's Spirit. It does not accept the guidance that comes from the Holy Spirit. To paraphrase Paul's words in 1 Corinthians, people who are not spiritual cannot receive God's truths from the Holy Spirit. God's wisdom sounds foolish to them, and they cannot understand it. For only those who seek God can understand what the Spirit is trying to teach them. Those who are not following Christ are people who can only teach the wisdom of this life, based on human feelings and human reasoning alone. The real source of these thoughts is the devil, whose purposes are always destructive. They can produce a climate in the church, at home, and at work that damages relationships. Think of how quickly our words, language, and tone of voice can create a destructive climate. James shows that the destructive nature of this kind of wisdom in verse 16 when he says, where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Now, let's look at genuine, true wisdom, wisdom that comes from above. James has already told us in the opening verses of this letter that God will give genuine wisdom to anyone who asks for it. In contrast to worldly wisdom, it is not a matter of knowing a large number of facts. It is not head knowledge or practical knowledge. Rather, it is a sense, neither is it a skill in negotiating, managing, leadership, or academic scholarship. It's none of that. It's much deeper than that. As Pastor Jack taught us in chapter 2, just like faith without works is dead, true wisdom is seen in our actions. So how can we cultivate a genuine wisdom that results in Christ's love in action? Here in verse 17, we have the characteristics of what wisdom from above looks like. These words of heavenly wisdom are like precious pearls strung on a beautiful necklace. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. For those who are filled with worldly wisdom, it's easy for them to pour scorn on all of these characteristics. Especially in this cynical age in which we live, unspiritual people might look on a Christ follower who is gentle, peace-loving, and submissive as a wimp, a pushover, and not a person who's dealing with the reality of this dog-eat-dog world. Christ followers just might be classified as being terribly naive. But these characteristics have nothing to do with being naive. They are what true wisdom is and what wisdom from above produces. James returns here to a familiar theme of living out your faith. This is true whether we're talking about faith or heavenly wisdom. Do not tell me about it. Show it to me. James is saying, if you're wise in understanding God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. The truly wise person demonstrates his or her understanding of Christ by the way he or she lives. Our works show where our hearts are invested. As Christ followers, do our attitudes and motives match our actions? While we may not claim to possess the wisdom of Solomon, we can aim at living in wise ways, a life of steady goodness. This guidance given to us in God's Word is dependable wisdom. But as we seek to do good deeds, we must watch out for pride. Pride is having an attitude of self-importance about the talents and abilities that God has given us, and using them to set ourselves up as feeling superior, or using our talents and abilities to be divisive in our relationships with others. Godly wisdom, then, involves both right actions and attitudes in living. A truly wise life will display not only goodness, but also humility. Let's look again at some of these specific characteristics that James uses to describe the character and quality of godly wisdom. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. To be fruitful for God, our intentions must have a moral and spiritual integrity. We must pray to be pure in heart, mind, and soul. We cannot be pure by our own willpower. We must have guidance from the Holy Spirit. Being fruitful for God is also to be peace-loving. This is a peace that goes beyond any inner peace. It is opposed to strife. It is a peace between people and between people and God. It must be a peace that positively affects the community. Christians must not only offer peace, but they should seek to spread peace. To be wise is to be gentle at all times. This is the opposite of self-seeking. It does not demand its own right. To be gentle is to make allowances for others and to temper justice with mercy. It's the kind of treatment that we would like to receive from others. To do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. This wisdom is also willing to yield to others. Heavenly wisdom is reasonable, flexible, willing to listen and to change. Just as good soldiers willingly follow orders from their superiors, people with heavenly wisdom willingly follow God's commandments and the urging of the Holy Spirit. And we must be willing to respond to God's correction. This wisdom is also full of mercy and good deeds. God's wisdom is full of gracious forgiveness, and His love leads to practical action, helping and serving others. We should be willing to forgive even when the problems we face are someone else's fault. God's wisdom shows no partiality, meaning it is free from prejudice towards people. Godly wisdom exhibits a clarity, a single-mindedness to what actions God is guiding us to take. Finally, it is always sincere, meaning unhypocritical. God's wisdom makes people genuine. James concludes in verse 18 saying, "Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." As every good gardener knows, to reap a good harvest, it takes a certain kind of climate. So too, to reap a harvest of righteousness demands a certain kind of spiritual climate. So too, righteousness cannot be produced in the climate of bitterness and self-seeking. Righteousness will grow only in a climate of peace, and it must be sown and cultivated by the peacemakers. Such persons not only love peace and live in peace, but also strive to cultivate conditions of peace. We do not cultivate a harvest of righteousness on our own. True wisdom begins and ends with an understanding of God's righteous character. In Psalm 111, we find, "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey His commandments will grow in wisdom. Praise Him forever." Take a close look at James' description of wisdom, and you will see that it is centered and built upon the character of God. Those that are wise are pure because God is pure. Those that are wise are peace-loving because God is peace-loving. Those that are wise are concerned with the feelings of others because God is concerned about others. Those that are wise are full of mercy because God is all-merciful. Those that are wise are always doing good deeds because God is always the giver of all good things to those who seek Him. Those that are wise show no favoritism because God does not show favoritism. God loves us all. These are the characteristics of wisdom from above, because they are the characteristics of God. So if you want to be truly wise, then be a person who seeks after God. If you want to be truly wise, be a person of prayer. Pray for wisdom. If you want to be truly wise, be a person of the Word. If you want to be truly wise, be a person who displays Christ in everything you do and in everything you say. And if you want to be truly wise, follow Jesus. Be Christ's love in action. Proverbs tells us, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Our way, our earthly wisdom will fail us. God's way has been shown to us through the life, death, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Have you ever had the experience of going into a restaurant and ordering a Coke, but instead get a Pepsi? Now, I'm not saying that a Coke is better than a Pepsi. The opposite can also be true if you're a Pepsi fan. The point I'm trying to make is that right away, you know something is not quite right. I believe that if we ask God in prayer for wisdom, especially when confronted by a dilemma in which we do not know which decision would be God-pleasing, if we seek God's wisdom in the Scriptures, if we model our lives after the words, actions, and deeds of Jesus, then we will know right away when something is not true wisdom. Then we will know by the guiding power of the Holy Spirit that we do not possess the real thing when we are tempted to make a decision using our own earthly wisdom instead of wisdom from above. To distill all this down, if you want wisdom from above, there are two main things to remember. One, be Christ-centered and not self-centered. Two, express Christ's love in all your actions and all your words. Amen.